This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What the fuck?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to What the Fiqh.
What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
I am your host, Bona Muhammad, and I'm joined with two very special guests. I flew them in on my personal dime. Absolutely. All the way to Canada, to my basement, actually. Mashallah, they're both staying here. They're making Nike sneakers for me. two brothers who are very talented, and I want to talk to both of you about your journeys and about your skill set. Before I do that, I'll introduce both of you. We have my brother Swizzy here, who's a fantastic photographer. What's your IG? People can check out your work.
Swizzy's World.
Swizzy's World. So just at Swizzy's World if you're on IG. And we have my brother Ilyas, who also goes by the very interesting stage name of Aleku. Did I say it right that time?
So close.
What?
Aleku.
It's not even a real name. You gotta pronounce it right. It's not even Aleku. And that, you know, that's an interesting name. Because initially when I read your name, I'm like, mashallah, who's this brother from Rwanda? That's like a real African name, right?
Yeah.
And I was like,
what? I get that a lot.
From where? That name sounds like it's from somewhere else.
Especially white people, they're like, where are you from?
That's really ethnic.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really Cameroonian.
Yeah. Where are you from?
And you pronounce it?
Aleku.
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 Okay, but it means nothing.
honestly, it started off like that, and it's funny because like when I tell people the story, they're like, "Wow, like okay, like it derived from nothing." So when I was a toddler, my grandmother, she used to ask people to tell. She used to tell me to tell people what my name was, and so we'd have visitors come over to the house, and then she'd be like, "Ilyas, come here. Tell them what your name is." And I was like 3 or 4 and I couldn't say my name, Ilyas, right? So I'd be like, Aleku. And so she found it hilarious. Like she was like,
that is kind of funny,
wow, it was hilarious, right? And then she started to call me Aleku as a pet name.
Yeah.
And then like, it was really like a form of endearment. Like, hey, I like that name that you call for yourself, so I'm going to start calling it. And then she loved Somali poetry.
Right.
So she would use Somali poetry and put that and infuse that into the name Aleku.
Mm.
And then whenever she'd want to call on me, she'd be like, Aleku, come here. And then just like a line or two of Somali poetry within the name Aleku.
Oh, she dropped bars.
Bars. Where'd you get the bars from?
She was nice.
Yeah, so that's where I got her from. And then it kind of just, you know, spun into that. And then when I started doing poetry, like 18, you know, my sisters were like, oh my God, you need to, you know, just honor her and, you know, take all of your work and publicly just use the name Aleku just like as a form of like honor for her.
Mashallah.
And so all of the work that I do poetry wise literally is just an honor of her because she gave me that name, Aleku.
So Aleku, and you spell it A. How do you even decide how to spell a fake name? That's what I want.
Yeah. So you know what's crazy? Like, oh my God. So initially it used to be spelled Alakuu, right?
Okay.
And then like one time I just got tired of social media, I deleted everything. And then I try to get it back on Instagram like years ago, and then like, the name was taken.
Someone took that name.
Someone like South Korea took it.
There's a South Korean Aleku running
around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like,
using old content.
Yeah, you know? And I was like, yo,
still trying to get it in.
So I had to add another K in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's Alakuu.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, very interesting name. I had no idea what it meant, and I figured it was, initially, I'll be honest with you. So who put me onto was Ammar, our mutual friend, Ammar al-Shukri, mashallah.
Shout out to Ammar.
So he put me onto you. And then both of us, I was like, okay, where's his brother from? Right? And he's like, for real? I don't know. Right? Because even on your IG, like you didn't really have many like pics of just you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was always like very like, oh, my thoughts in the wind. You know, he's been dropping bars. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. He knows his audience.
Yeah,
He knows who he's after, right? And then when I saw your pic, I'm like, oh, mashallah, this Bangladeshi brother is his brother is out there doing his thing, man, mashallah.
Right. Yeah, I'll take it.
Right? Because I didn't have no idea where you're from. Actually, I thought at first maybe you were Ethiopian. I said, maybe that's Ethiopian
name. I get that a lot, though, because Ilyas is an Ethiopian name. And the
forget Ilyas.
Aleku. Wow.
Because you don't really have Ilyas under your name, right? So I just saw Aleku and I'm like, okay, what is that? I thought maybe you were from Ethiopia. And then, so it was very interesting. Eventually we tracked down, you're just a regular Somali. Hey, all that right. going around the world.
Right? Just a regular old Somali.
And then the funnier part was then he told me, okay, he's from DC, you know, he's out there, he's doing his thing. And then I find out this dude's from Toronto. And not even just from a regular, he's from the hood. He's from Black Creek. I'm like, get out of here.
Oh my God. Shout out to Black Creek.
Nothing exotic whatsoever.
Shout out North Pole. Okay. Black Creek.
Nothing exotic about you whatsoever. Exotic touches. West End. We have about 50 of him just in one building.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Where are you from?
Huh?
Where are you from?
Me, I'm from Adam. Where are you from?
Come on,
that's a good line, right?
Man,
that's a good line.
The people want to know where in Toronto.
We're in Toronto. Oh, where in Toronto am I from? Okay, so in Toronto, I'm from St. Clair and Oakwood area.
Okay.
Okay. Shout out St. Clair. We have a brother here representing.
Black Creek. Hey, it's Black Creek. This is West End.
That's fine. That's fine. Relax, it's a gang thing right now. Okay, that's fine. So I'm from St. Clair and Oakwood area. That's where I grew up my entire life. So it's for those outside of Toronto, it's kind of. It's not really downtown. It's more uptown. It's like more North York, but it's kind of in the middle. But then I moved to the West End. So my parents now live in like Jane and Wilson area. So by like Thotik Masjid, if you know the vicinity, right? And then I moved to Scarborough when I got a bit older. And then on my own, I ended up moving to Pickering. So now I live in Pickering. So I literally have like pretty much traveled the entire GTA. Right. So, but I don't really rep, like, you know, I just rep Toronto, alhamdulillah, but it's like, even then, I don't really rep anything per se. Now it's all about Pickering gang, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you were the first colored people to visit me here in Pickering.
We have a color quota.
Very nice neighborhood.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's not,
but I noticed it. Yeah, I felt a little
uncomfortable, right?
Well, I made sure the security checked you in on the way in. I said, you know, these people are with me, it's fine, you know.
I have to do the call at the gate.
Exactly, right. So I just buzz them up. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Buzz them through. But so both of you brothers, you know, I'm really interested because you're actual brothers.
Yes.
Even though you look nothing alike.
Yeah.
People either say we look a lot alike or we look nothing alike. But it's usually white folks that think we look alike.
It's usually police.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Those guys.
Yeah. Because you don't look anything alike.
Yeah.
Like when you told me he was your brother, I was like, ah, okay.
Yeah. One of those brothers.
January 1st brother. Okay, I got you. Okay, right?
Trying to hold him down.
I'm with you, bro. I'm with you, right? But you actually brothers.
Yeah, brothers.
Right? And so, but the age difference is what? You're about
two and a half years
older. Okay. Yeah. But what I find interesting is that you're both artists in your own right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you both have art in different capacities. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed by, you know, even your skill set, like as a photographer, like your work is really dope. Mashallah.
Mashallah.
Right. And we don't find a lot of, now I think it's becoming more popularized. Absolutely. Photography, especially with Instagram and different mediums like that have allowed, you know, photography to become more showcased. But I think out of all the platforms, like without Instagram, photography was not as, you know, there wasn't as much exposure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Specifically for Muslim photographers. Did you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. I think before Instagram, it was very difficult to share any kind of content pertaining to like visual content, especially, right? You would still have Twitter, and Twitter was starting to catch the realm a little bit, but up until Instagram came, there was no real go-to place for like content creation for photographers, honestly. Mm. And I think when Instagram came out, I think it actually helped people like hone more of their skills, actually. Right. You know what I mean? So like, if it wasn't for Instagram, I don't think a lot of these people would have even known that there are photographers that look like them, that are succeeding in this realm. They might not have tried it. You know what I mean? So I think.
But I think also the funny thing is that as a photographer, I may not know you're a person of color because you're behind the lens, right?
Right.
But you're behind the camera.
But I feel like nowadays you can't only be just a photographer or just a poet or just this. Like you need to have your own brand. So like that's what I'm trying to tell like a lot of the youth that, you know, kind of ask for some kind of insight. Like your brand means so much more now, right? Because there's different like brands that are willing to work with people that they know, like if you are constantly utilizing different functionalities, like story functionality, for instance, you know, polling and asking questions and stuff like that. These things are so vital nowadays because if all they see is the final product, but they don't know the person behind it, if they don't know that the person behind it might be a colored person, then they might not be willing to, you know, work with you.
Right. And you put me onto some game because you told me that, like, you've worked with a lot of big brands as well.
Yeah.
Right? And I think many people might not know this, but, like, as a professional Muslim Somali photographer, like, how do you get into that door? How do you actually, you know, start working with brands? How do you start working with people that take you seriously as an artist?
Honestly, content is king, man. You know, like the work speaks for itself a lot of times. So I think the number one thing is for people to worry about creating amazing content and like just making sure that you're the best at whatever it is that you do within your own standards. Like, don't judge yourself upon other things. Don't worry about trendy stuff. But like, once you really truly feel like your work is of quality, then those people will come. But networking is key, bro. Like, if you're not shooting shots, if you're not sending DMs, if you're not willing to go to networking events to meet up with people and stuff like that, you're not going to get anywhere, because nobody wants somebody that already feels like they're too good to do things. You know what I mean? So networking is key, bro.
And so you're like, you know, your Instagram game is crazy. Like, you do, like, I never did a poll before. You talk about polls right now. I've never actually sent out a poll.
Really? Come on, bro.
I don't know, a poll. Like, I don't even know what I would do a poll about. Should I wear this or should I wear that? Or
not necessarily that.
But like, am I fat? Like, am I skinny?
No, you could poll people about like how many videos that they want a year from you. You know what I'm saying? And you can ask a question.
Or I don't want to hear the answer.
Yeah, I mean, because you know the answer. They'll say 100.
I'll be like, 100. Good luck with that. Don't hold your breath.
But yeah, the more functions that you use within the Instagram platform, the better that your like your engagement will be as well, because Instagram's going to see you as like somewhat of a super user,
and they reward
and they reward you for using different functionalities as well. That's another thing, another tip for.
And so, but do you think that Instagram has made photographers become a little bit lazy, in the sense that like now you have filters, you have, you know, even with post, like I'm familiar with the production process, like editing is a huge thing, right?
And
you can take a photo and through just photography manipulation, you can make it look so much better.
Absolutely. I feel like, to me, I feel like you need a balance between the two. Like, you should be able to go out there and shoot like an amazing photo because you know how to use the camera. But then you should still have amazing skill sets. Like, you might have an off day because there's not ideal conditions, and you should be able to fix certain things in post, right? But if you don't have both, like, there's these conventional purists that say, if you even edit slightly, you're not a photographer.
Really?
Yeah, bro. Like, it's a whole thing. You know what I mean? And then because they never took the time to learn how to use Adobe. Like, whose fault is that, bro? Like, you have the apps to use. You need to learn how to use these skills in today's day, especially, right? Then you have the other ones that are a little bit more lazy, in my eyes, I think, because they don't want to learn the craft of being a photographer using the camera, and they'll go out and shoot something super lazy, but then like their editing skills are amazing. So then they'll turn something into like more of a visual creative kind of look. Right. And it's like, where do you find the balance? For me, I think I try to make things seem as realistic as possible. So like, I might do some slight edits here and there just for fun purposes, but I try to keep it more realistic. But that's my lane. But there's nothing wrong with any of these lanes. Like, this one dude that I know, Photofied, he's actually from Toronto.
Okay.
Super dope, creative man. Like, he does some of the most amazing work that I've seen when it comes to like visual, like photo manipulation and stuff like that. It's unreal. Like, the way he got picked up, I think he works for Google now, or like Google, like, signed him or something like that.
For real?
Yeah, he did a different edit for 365 days.
Wow.
Like, every single day, bro, for a whole year. Like, that's dedication, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not putting that type of effort or energy in, like, you're not really gonna go like where you want to go if you're not putting that type of energy. So
I'll get to you, but more interesting.
I definitely want to interview him too. I was literally gonna start throwing questions.
Because I one more question I had specifically about the world of photography. A lot of students or people who, for example, might go to school for something like this, right? Typically speaking, like, I have an arts degree, right? I studied in media, and my background's in media. But with like YouTube and all of those things out there, is a degree in photography even necessary nowadays? Do you really have to do like 4 years of school for a trade that you could, you know, practically you could probably pick it up on your own?
Honestly speaking, like, I'm all for like education if that is what you want to do. And this not only applies to photography. I think it's like pretty much anything other than like if you want to become a doctor, you know what I mean? Or something along those lines that you definitely need to go to school for. You can even do IT like certifications nowadays, right? You don't really need the degree as much. My thing is, if schooling is going to allow, like, if that's how you learn and you're a type of learner that can only learn within the confines of school, then do it. But if you're somebody who's self-driven, self-motivated, you can learn things on your own, You have YouTube, man. YouTube's like one of the greatest teachers ever, bro. Like,
yeah.
And you just got to go out there and shoot and just learn from your own mistakes. That's the only way to really stick that much faster, I think.
So how do you measure what good photography is? Like, I know Bone and I always talk about art being subjective.
Yeah.
Like poetry is subjective. Like, right. You know, this person that, like, it's subjective. So how would you define or measure what you think good photography is?
Honestly, I don't think it matters, bro. Because if there is a group of individuals or you have a respective audience that is willing to digest your content, man, it's good enough. Mm-hmm. Like who am I to really say what good quality content is? Because I'm sure there's some people that sit there and look at my stuff and probably don't think it's that impressive. But then there's a lot of other people.
Are numbers a reflection of that? Because like obviously you have a big following online. Yeah. No, you know, you not. Know certain pics get a lot of likes.
Right.
Does that sometimes, you know, reshift your direction? Like, oh, maybe I need to do more of this because more people are liking this particular photo.
I think it's actually problematic, honestly. Yeah. You know, because what it does is you have some of the best photographers or the best creatives that don't really get any light shined on them, and it kind of deters them from constantly posting because they're not getting love, right?
Yeah.
But then you have other photographers or like other creatives that are really good that are getting the love that I think they rightfully deserve, but there's so many people that are lost in the middle, you know, like because of algorithms and these different things that you shouldn't be worrying about as a creative, you know, just get your content and post, man. Like, it doesn't matter if it tanks, like don't think too much about that. And I know it's difficult to say it as somebody's going to be it doesn't matter for you because of this, but I'm telling you, like, there's certain posts, like my favorite pictures never do the best, bro. Mm. Like some of my favorite work, like I look at it and I'm like, yo, what's good? Like, what do y'all not see? And then like something that I think that is, to me, is like, I won't say a throwaway, but I'll just have to like throw it in the mix.
Right.
It'll just catch fire. People think it's the most amazing stuff. And I'm like, that's not even that nice.
Yeah. But, yes, you know, I fall into that a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll post certain things and it'll get a lot of likes.
Yeah.
And then I'll post things that I think are really interesting.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't get no love. And I'm like, well, does that deter me then in the future? Not really, because I have no shame.
Right. Right.
I don't really care.
Right.
It does, you know, in the back of your mind, it does play on that. Right.
Bro, it's the whole concept of like the photographer and the model. Like,
as
a photographer, right? I will take a series of shots of a model that I think are like pretty wild, like they're pretty amazing, but like I might like three, right? The three that the model will like herself or his or himself or whatever will be the three that I think might be the worst.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, it's always conflicting. Wow. And that's because through my scope it's completely different, and through what they see it's completely, because they're just looking at certain things. Like models just love to look at their face,
make them look good.
That's all that matters to them, right? To me it's like, I'm not gonna make your, like, you're not gonna have your eyes closed, but like, if there's other like things in that shot that made it better, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd want to go with that. Mm. But
so speaking about posting online, which is something that you don't really do that often.
Who said that?
Right.
Nice segue.
Nice.
I have you blocked.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. I think it's because it was the hate mail I was sending.
Yeah.
Because you have a very interesting social media strategy, which is to not do anything. And he has that like
cult following.
He has that like, you know, like the weekend, and these people like they post like with their eyes closed. They don't want
to time out.
Pictures where you can't see his face.
Yeah. My face is all over.
I mean, like, now. But you don't post at all. You don't post very often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like to. There are a lot of like poets that post because they have to meet that one poem a day quota. You know what I mean? Like a lot of writers, and they're just like, I gotta be consistent, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I've gone months without posting because it just doesn't feel right. Or I like writing and I just like to hoard it sometimes. Like, it doesn't feel right to share this at this time. I've held poems and projects just for like years, man, because I don't want to ever feel like I'm doing art anything other than
for myself,
you know what I mean? Because if I get to a point where I'm doing it for a bag or I'm doing it for a gig, I know myself, I'm going to start producing things, not because I love it, but because I need to do it just to catch something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I don't want to ever catch myself like falling down that hill where I'm just like, yo, I haven't posted in a week or two.
Yeah, but how does that help your brand? I mean, you need to, like you were saying, content is king, right? And as creatives, we know, like you need to consistently be putting work out.
Absolutely.
Is this? I think we should do like an intervention right now.
Right. No, he needs help for sure.
Time out.
Hold on.
So, you know how like that quote where they say like if you have like 10 people in a room and there's just one quiet person. And he or she's not talking.
He's a serial killer.
No.
I think I heard that one too.
But then, the moment they start talking, everybody's listening.
Yeah. That's you. Talk that talk.
But it's just like, go ahead. Let them know.
Like, if you post every day for a year, right?
Mm-hmm. They're not going to miss you like that.
Yeah. And then you grade that against the next year where you post once a month. There's more of a yearning for your work. Like if I go weeks without my work, people are DMing me like, are you okay? Is everything okay? You know what I mean? And so I would rather have that.
Yeah, but that goes against like every algorithm.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say one thing though, bro. Mm. Me personally, like I don't really post as crazily as I once used to as well, because I figured out like posting things that don't mean anything to me. Like it doesn't make sense. Like I shouldn't have to post because I'm scared of the algorithm punishing me, right? Mm. Like, my thing is, like, if you don't have any kind of, like, he said yearning, like, you know what I'm saying? If you don't really feel the burning desire to post just because you're on IG and you want to, like, make sure that the algorithm doesn't do you dirty, like, that, I don't think that's right, you know? Mm-hmm. So my thing is, like, you just have to know, like, when it is that would be ideal for you to post, or, like, how to still continually keep people engaged, right? Like I said, through stories, and like there's different methods that you could still make sure that your algorithm or like your IG doesn't just completely go to wherever, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Cause you know what's going to happen, right? If you do post for like
all
likes
the time,
or whatever, you're going to go a month, 2 months. And then after the 3 month mark, you'd be like, damn, I'm not getting anywhere.
Do you still use story and stuff as well? Like even when you're not posting?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't use it as much as this guy.
I try to keep people engaged every now and then. But my thing is like, bro, like
my life isn't as interesting.
Like I personally, nah, stop it. Like, no, no.
throwaway sympathy. We're just ignoring it.
No, but I think I have like, bro, like content that I could post a picture a day for like maybe 3 years, bro.
Hmm.
Like really, like it's like that. But do I see the need to post pictures that really don't mean anything to me? Because I think that's where I got to. Like, I got to a level where I was like, it's nice to have a picture of a nice place. You know what I mean? Like Burj in Dubai, it's nice. Like, it's nice to have pictures of the Eiffel Tower. Like, but like, what does it mean? Like, what's the purpose behind it? Because I think it's such an oversaturated thing now. Like, people taking photos of nice places and like just posting them for the sake of posting them because I'm a photographer and I just go places, doesn't mean anything. Like, if you don't have any kind of like feeling behind what you're posting, I don't see the need of doing
it.
What
about your caption game? I mean, how does that, like, cause I mean, people, you know, obviously they have the pics and then they write these whole paragraphs and
I mean, I think caption game, like I've never been one to really write like paragraphs and stuff, but I can see the use of it. Like if used correctly, of course, like if you haven't posted in a long time, it would be interesting for people to know what you've been up to, you know? Mm-hmm. I think people will take the time to read it. But I think if you're somebody who constantly posts like a paragraph or like or two every time, I don't think like eventually people are going to get they're going to get tired really fast because we're in this generation, bro, where like we are so quick to like turn things off. Like, do you understand how difficult it is for people to just watch a 1 minute video and then click keep watching? Fam, like for me to hit click, like continue watching means that, yo, this was so amazing. Yeah. Like you've done a stellar job. Like
it's like a real commitment,
bro. Like it's tough. Yeah. I'm like, yo, I gave you a minute, fam. Like that's hard as it is. You know what I mean? So like, I think like Instagram is trying to like reward, like I said, reward people that are utilizing IGTV and stuff like that. How do you feel about IGTV, by the way?
I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like, I've posted one video and I just tested it out. I was
like,
okay, I had a full length poem. I was like, okay, usually I'll do snippets of pieces here and there, some lines. Right. And then I posted a full video once.
Yeah.
And, you know, it got traction, but then I don't know, like, did I do it right? Am I supposed to post more? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also, like, the time of day you posted. And, you know, like, for me, it's and that's why I'm asking you guys genuinely, because I'm interested, because I know you guys are, you know, you understand, like, Instagram very well. Someone like me who's more of a novice at Instagram, I don't really understand, like what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. I just do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll post, like, I'll go like months without posting and like real life. I have nothing to post. Like I'm just living life. I'm just doing whatever. And then like, somebody will tell me, or I'll just get an idea and I'll be, all right, I'm going to post 3 times a week
right.
for the next like month, right? Mm-hmm. I'll just give myself a task and mm-hmm. a target and I'll be like, all right, you know, let me just, then I'll just fall off. And like, I don't really know if I'm doing it right or if I'm doing it wrong.
Right, right.
Like the whole IGTV thing, mm-hmm. I don't watch anything on IGTV.
Right, right.
I don't know if other people watch things on IGTV. Mm-hmm. I have really no way of gauging it. Mm-hmm.
It's a tough thing, man. Like I know when they initially came up with it, I think they were trying to compete with YouTube, right?
Right.
So the whole thing was like they saw like a portion whereby a lot of YouTubers were moving away from it and utilizing Instagram. Mm-hmm. So they were like, why don't we give them a little bit of a leg up so we can just really just snatch YouTubers, you know?
Just keep them in the same ecosystem.
At the end of the day, like Instagram is the most popular platform. We all know this. So like for somebody to go from Instagram to another platform like YouTube is already crazy to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm leaving this application to go here. Like if I could keep them here, I'll rather keep them here. Mm. So they thought that it would translate well, and I don't think it's translated as good as they thought that it would.
Yeah.
But I know for sure like a lot of people that utilize videos, they kind of reward them when you post on like IGTV. Like they kind of broaden your
engagement. Do you post on IGTV?
Nah, bro, not really. Like, but I don't really post videos like that.
Do you watch content on IGTV?
Only select people, just because like I know who it is. Like my boy Soph, like he does like funny, funny skit videos, like basketball videos and stuff like that.
Is that the dude who's always throwing the ball
backwards? Yeah, that's my Soph bro.
Soph underscore videos, right?
Yeah, that's my bro.
I saw he's from, I guess he's from the DMV area. Right.
He's like our neighbor.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, I see him. Just how does he get those shots in?
Bro, he's nice.
Hey, you can't
bro.
Tell him. Can't tell him.
I mean,
is it some editing tricks or
skill?
It's definitely, it goes in. Like obviously, you know,
it's real. It's all real.
Yeah. But that's probably like one out of every like 20 shots.
No. It's a lot better than that.
Money like that.
The percentage is a lot better.
That's not even a skill. You're just throwing the ball
over there. No. But if you look at it, if you look at his videos though, he looks back. He looks back to see like where the rim is at and wherever he's at, he looks back, boom.
Yeah.
And, I see he'll do a few in a row too. Yeah, I'm like, damn,
bro,
he's nice.
It's like that. It's money.
And he's funny. Like he genuinely makes me laugh.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
So you'll watch him on IGTV.
Yeah, because that's the bro. Like, and not only that, like I genuinely think he's hilarious. So like, and even the people that he does collab with, like I'll go and watch their stuff just because I know, like for him to do stuff with people, like he doesn't do things with people just because like of clout or anything like that. He'll do things only with people that he genuinely finds funny. So it's like it's interesting to see.
So here's another question now for both of you guys. And this is an interesting point of discussion that I think it's worth mentioning. I'm just making sure the mic's on. Okay, hello. Hi everyone. You good? Okay. You both have like real jobs.
Yes.
Like you obviously work for, you know, a major media company. You're an astronaut, I believe.
NASA.
Something to do with NASA. You do something to do with like the solar system. I don't know what. He told me one time, and I was like, "Yo, that's crazy that they let you in that building, that they gave you that credentials."
Because
you're from Black Creek.
What are you trying to say?
You're from Black Creek, bro. I want to trust you with that.
Hey, Black Creek fam,
government credentials.
Watch this guy.
No. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I got to talk to Trump about that. Anyways, and this is something interesting that I think I always encourage, right? Which is the fact that, and this might tie into what we're talking about, that you guys also maybe are more laxed in your
approach,
yeah, definitely.
Because you're not really eating off of your art in that same way. Like you don't depend on it,
right? Right.
Facts, yeah.
Right.
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 Whereas, like someone like myself, who you know is unfortunately right a full time artist, right? This is what I do, like as a 9 to 5. I kind of get caught up in the pressure of like, okay, you know, how do I best utilize these you know different social media mechanisms? How do I best keep? Because you also want to become relevant. You want to stay relevant, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that is something that I'm constantly battling with as well, because you do want to have the flexibility to say like, you know, I just want to do it for me and I want to be sincere. But then the other side of it is like, hey, look,
I gotta eat, right?
I gotta put things out there.
Right.
So let's talk about, you know, both of those things. Do you think that your attitude or your ability maybe for yourself to be less engaged at times is partly due to the fact that, you know, it's something that you did, in my opinion, you did the right thing, right? Like having a full-time steady income job that may not even be connected to art. To me, I always tell artists this, is that gives you the freedom and flexibility to do the art that you want to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice. Yeah.
It doesn't force you to become like, you know, this cliche of the starving artist, who, you know, like I'll write poems for money, baby. I'll do whatever you need. Right.
Right.
It's like,
right.
You know, you can be comfortable. Poem. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Would you ever do the opposite? Would you ever leave your full-time job and just focus on art?
I mean, honestly, yeah, like I would. But the reason why I'm in the situation I'm in is because, like, growing up, our parents were always like, yo, you guys could do whatever you guys want to do, but you got to make sure that you go through X, Y, and Z, yeah, right?
You got to do the system.
And so, yeah. Like, growing up, they invested, you know, a lot, even private tutors, like, super young, just, like, going to this and going to that, just to make sure, like, our base was really strong. And for me, alhamdulillah, I was good at math, and alhamdulillah, I was good at writing, too, you know? And then, so, the math avenue kind of took me towards an engineering route, and alhamdulillah, my writing took me towards poetry. So when I went into university, it's funny because I wanted to be like an aeronautical engineer at first. And then
NASA.
What do they do? So that's like spaceship stuff. Or what?
So they're not up there, but they're in the labs, like fixing planes, building and fixing planes.
Right. Okay.
And then so I went.
I have an arts degree.
I went to my university, and they were like, aeronautical engineering. Yeah, you're not gonna. Like, we don't teach that here.
Oh, really?
And I was like, all right, cool. So I go back home and I'm like Googling. I'm just Googling like the closest thing to aeronautical engineering, right? Because it just sounded cool, you know? Like, I'm an aeronautical engineer. And then it was mechanical. Then I was like, all right, bet. Like, I'm going to be building like Ferraris, you know what I mean? And then they're like, yeah, we don't have mechanical engineering. I was like, what do you guys have? Do you guys do engineering?
We have nursing.
Yeah. And they were like, we do have electrical. So I went into electrical.
Okay.
But it was tough, man. It was rough. Like, I didn't have a social life. Like, I still don't, but I definitely didn't have one then.
Right.
And then, like, in between my exam, just, like, as a form of outlet, I'd be writing poems. Right? And, like, I never shared it. And it's funny because a lot of people don't know. Like, the first time I performed, guys, was at my university when this guy came and shut it down.
Let him know. Let him know.
Like, yeah, I kid you not. Him and Amar. Yeah. They came. There was literally, like, folks sitting on the stairwell.
Oh, yeah. It's sitting auditorium on each other's laps.
Okay, I don't know about all that.
It was that kind of party back then.
Yeah. And then this guy just like, I remember he like walked down the auditorium and they're all like, oh my God, there's Bono. There's Bono, right?
Yeah.
And so I, you got to pay homage.
And then, so
I opened up for this guy then. And then after that performance, people were like, oh, so you do poetry? And like, I remember like making wudu one time. This brother came up to me and he goes, brother, you're an engineer and you do poetry?
Astaghfirullah.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. You know? And I was like, I guess I do poetry now. Like, all of it was always closeted. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that was like a stamp where I was just like, yo, I got to continue this. So then.
So I basically gave birth to you.
Yo, basically, you definitely did not. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. The Muslim community in general made it very difficult for me, and I have to be completely honest, made it very difficult for me to basically just grow as a poet. And I think that we still have that problem within the Muslim community. I'll tell you why.
Definitely, yeah.
Because the Muslim community, when they do poetry-related events, they're just looking for the Bono Muhammad's, you know what I mean? Like, they're just looking for someone to stick on a flyer.
Yeah, there's only a few of those.
One of one.
Yeah, they don't make them like they used to. That was a 1987 exclusive.
Let's go.
And generally, you know, and generate the bag, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, after I did that opening, I was like, yo, like,
When's the next gig?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Quiet.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah, never came.
So, and then, like, I went to, like, a bunch of open mics, right? And a bunch of Adan people were just like, yeah, we have open mics Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Adan is white people.
Adan people is white people. Yeah, and they were very, very, very welcoming to, like the amateur poet. You know what I mean? And they were just like, yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Especially with a very ethnic name.
Yeah. I can't even.
Wait, were you even performing?
Azalaku, or you were Ilyas?
Honestly, like, I don't even remember it, to be honest. Yeah. I think it was just like, hey guys, I have a poem here, and then here it is. All
right. Yeah.
You guys like it? All right. You know what I mean? Just to try it out. Yeah, you know?
He's good, yeah.
And then it was just like, they were very, very receptive. So,
he's tall. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Muslim community, make it easier for your local poets or local artists in general to get into the mix, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, Bono and I and Amar, we're doing a tour last February, and inshallah, it's going to come up again.
Inshallah, yeah.
Where we, every city we went to, we made sure we had a poetry slam, where we gave the opportunity to a bunch of poets in that city to show their work and just get in the mix, you know what I mean? And then you win, obviously, cash prize, you know what I mean? But more importantly, you get to show your work and get judged, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although Bon and I didn't agree on a lot of the, you know, on a lot of the judgments. A lot of them were dope, but a lot of them were, you know, kind of tough. But Yeah, man, if you're an organizer, just make it easier for folks that are don't have a platform to get in the mix.
Yeah,
man.
give that outlet for up and comers. 100% To, you know, and I'm always a big I'm a big fan of, like, I always tell people, you know, I can spare 10 minutes in the beginning of the show. Let somebody come up and and open up. And I joke around with you because, like, I, you know, I gave birth to you. I really did give birth to you in that sense. But I've given birth to so many people. SubhanAllah. Amar, by the way, I gave birth to Amar as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll never admit it, though.
Oh, he did. I had him on the podcast as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you have to admit, Akhi, when the womb speaks to you, you know, you can't.
The womb only speaks one language.
The womb only speaks truth. I didn't know that, man.
You know, there's a lot of people. And you know what it is? It's because I had such a head start. Right,
you
because
did, you
I
did.
Because I had not even
you were the pioneer. You were like the soldier boy of Muslim.
It really was. Yo, don't
that's not a bad thing.
Yo, soldier boy. Yo, soldier boy's really out here.
Time out. Time out. You were the soldier boy.
The worst
boy.
Comparison.
Hold on. Let me tell you why you were the soldier boy of Muslim poetry. Not like lyrically or anything. Not that.
Yeah, with my glasses on.
No, but soldier boy was the first like rapper to get into the YouTube realm
for sure.
You were the you pioneered Muslim poetry, like.
I mean, there were a lot of people before me. One person that really was, I think, the real pioneer was Amir Suleiman.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like, because he's like the OG. Like, I remember the first time I performed for a Muslim audience, I was his opener.
Wow.
Right? So that takes you back. And that was in 2007.
Wow.
Yeah. 2007. You were how old? You were like probably 11 and a half. I think you were
close.
Yeah. You close. Were still Alaku then. Close. You didn't know your real name by then. You were still young, right? But I think that the problem that I find in a big part of it is due to the fact that there aren't enough of these outlets, right? There aren't enough platforms for people to test out their work. But then at the same time, there are people who, for example, will utilize social media, right? Mm-hmm. They'll get big on social media.
Right.
But then when people invite them to a real event,
they
realize it's not the same thing,
right?
Like, and here's where my advantage was, is that like I performed mainly for non-Muslims for many years before I was even introduced to the Muslim audience.
Right.
I already, you know, I already got my 10,000 hours in, like I was already good, you know? And then when I came to the Muslim audience, I was like, all right, cool. I'll just switch it up and whatever. So, but now I find that there are a lot of poets like yourself who are utilizing social media in a different way, right? Because I like what you do. And I think it's very unique. Like you don't do spoken word, right? You do like the corny kind of poetry.
Whoa.
Like, or what would you call it?
The writing part.
Is that what they...
He's a hater because he doesn't write.
If somebody saw my writing on paper, they'd be like, what is this? This is the dumbest thing ever.
It's a different art form, though.
It is a different art form.
It's completely different art
form. So how do you differentiate the two? And how do you... like? Because I think you're a dope performer.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm just a corny writer.
No, you do have that cornball in you, right?
But it comes out better, right?
But I'm saying, how do you transition? How do you differentiate? Like, okay, this is my spoken word. This is my my book. Because you have a book. You're a published author, right? You have your own book of poetry. How do you differentiate between like this theme I want to do spoken word on versus this theme I want to make it into a post or a page of poetry?
So whenever I do like rhythmic poetry, it's spoken, right? Because A, it's easier for me to remember. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like acapella rap.
Right.
B, it's different from the typical poem here where you draw the lines and you stretch your words out like that. And I'm not very good at, you know what I mean? I'm not very good at that, you know? Yeah. I'm not like, I can't do that type of poetry. I just didn't really like.
But you do that kind, and you're good at it.
I've never done that kind of poetry because
he doesn't really stretch it out. This guy really just raps slow down.
Yeah, I've never stretched my words.
He's
out.
He's just a rapper turn the dial down a bit,
like a southern rapper.
Because I don't have an affinity towards that. But it's funny because the way that I actually started like doing spoken word was like when I was like 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to this guy, and I like the first couple times I would like give him a few bars, right?
Mm.
He'd be like, "Yo, get out of here!" Like,
dream crusher.
Like he'd be like,
"That's why he's here right now."
He'd be like,
"See that?
You better
thank this guy."
And I'm like 13, right? And he'd be like, "What are you doing? Right? Let's go play ball." And then I found like a workaround, right?
Oh, his workaround was kind of crazy.
One day I was like, "Yo," "Yo, Swizz, yo, did you hear the new Nas track?" And he's like, nah. So I'm like, yo, come check this out. Yo, this is what he said. And I would give him like one of my lines.
By the way, I was heavy into Nas at the time, right? So
this guy knew your weakness.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy comes at me and he's like, yo, listen to this Nas lyric. And then Nas will, like, he just say some bar. And I'm
so
like,
I would measure how good the line was based off his reaction. And I'd be like,
oh, Nas crazy.
Nas is coming with that fire, yo, son. And then, why can't you be like Nas?
He would be like, yo, when did he say that?
Yo,
how I knew.
I'm like, yo, when that drop? Oh, and you know, back then, there was like websites that you used to have, like, lyric websites in the day. Yeah, I'm like, yo, what's the thing? I got to pull it up.
What time's it coming up? 106 in Park. What time's the video coming up?
But my writing, I don't rhyme when I write. Because I feel like, for me personally, I just don't like, because I've tried, like, writing down and posting on Instagram my spoken word.
No,
didn't work. And then also I've tried performing some of the stuff that I had in my book, didn't work out, right? They're literally two completely different art forms that come with two completely different audiences.
They do.
You know, I have people that buy my book, wouldn't come to my show. Right. I have people that would love to come to my show, wouldn't buy my book.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
You know what I mean?
He's like, I'm the one that doesn't pay for anything.
Yeah. That's a given. So, but you know what's interesting? Because, like, I, as a writer, and I'm a performer and a poet, and I have respect for the art form, I cannot stand written poetry. Yeah. Like, in the sense that I don't get it. Like, I'm one of those people that, like, reads it and I'm like what is this? I don't understand. So have you
read, like, I'll be honest, I don't read a lot of poetry because I feel like I don't want it to influence a lot of the things that I say. Mm. But there are, like, some poets that are, you read their written work and it's you're kinda, like, wow. Kinda fire. Like, I don't know if you heard of Watson Shitter.
I know her, by the way. I definitely follow her work. But I think she's still... She's also a performer, by the way.
Yeah, she does readings.
Yeah,
right?
she does readings.
Like, but when you look at her poems and you read it, like, they hit me in the gut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo. So if four to eight lines of poetry could have that much impact on me, and honestly, I'm just like... I'm very selective with what I intake in terms of reading. And if I look at somebody's work and I'm like, yo, like, that hit me in the gut. Yeah. Like, I know that feeling. So for me to be able to produce that type of feeling for someone else,
that's fire.
There's a huge market for it, man.
You know, it's weird because, like, even though I understand you don't need to rhyme, like, I get that on paper.
Right.
If it doesn't rhyme, I have a hard time, like, calling it poetry.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, you wrote a creative essay.
You just talked to me.
You just spoke to me. Oh my God. Like haikus and all that stuff. I'm like, dude, that's not real.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to make a hashtag out of that.
Haikus are not real.
Yeah, they're not real. They're just a poor man's, like, 16 bars. Like,
but you know, to be honest, I would go the other way and say that if I read poetry right now that rhymes, like, I get it if it's, like, something that you, like, slap on paper and you're like, oh, this is, like, you know, something I would perform. Like, there are different types of, like, rhythmic poetry that sound like rap. Like, I've seen posts on Instagram, it rhymes, and I'm like, yo, those are bars.
You know what I mean? That's rhythmically, yeah.
But there's a lot of rhythmic poetry that is very amateurish. It's very, very, very amateurish. Like, 90%, in my opinion, of rhythmic poetry on writing, amateur. Like, I have, like, people that come to me, like, on Insight that they want to start writing. Rule number one, don't rhyme, bro. I literally give that. I'm like, yo, if you want to perform, do what you want, rhyme. Right. If you're writing poetry, guys and girls, if you're writing poetry and you're just, like, upcoming, in my opinion, you know, take it for whatever it is, but do not rhyme.
Yo, I have a question for you. So which do you prefer of the two? Like, if you had to be... Don't put me in a box, man.
That's like pick your allegiance.
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy though, spoken.
Really?
Yeah, let me tell you why.
What, really? That's interesting to me because it's like...
This is natural fitra. That's
right.
Let me tell you why. Because like...
You've done more written work, by the way.
I have. But
you have a book.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why, right? Because when I give my book out to somebody and they're reading it, for the most part, I don't know how they feel. But if I'm performing right in front of you, I can see your jaw drop. I can see your eyes squint. Okay. I can see you stop looking at your phone because now you're into my performance. Right. You know what I mean?
So it's the instant gratification 100%. Of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like fast food, right?
Well, yeah, I, you know, definitely,
that's good for you.
By the way, like, spoken word, why I feel like it's such a powerful medium is because it's one of the only mediums where, outside of like comedy, I would say comedy is probably even more intense,
right?
But like you get instant feedback from the audience,
right? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like a comedian, for example, you tell a joke, it bombs, you know, it bombed 100%. Like on the spot, right? Yeah, you know, and I've been with Muslim comedians at events with, where they're doing a joke that's done well in the past and I watch them do it again
to this crowd bomb, and it doesn't work.
And I laugh my head off. I'm like, oh, this is so funny that it sucks. Yeah. Like, you know, because it was great before. Before, right?
You should do stand up.
You know, I would you're love actually to do stand up. I would love to do stand up, but then like, look, if I do stand up and I do film, it's what am I gonna leave for you guys?
You only got one life to live, bro.
This guy's out here monopolizing the entire Muslim
do it.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not fair right now.
You're genuinely funny, bro.
Yeah. I'm like the Elon Musk of this game, you know what I'm saying? By the time you guys catch up, I'm gonna be on Mars, bro. I'm gonna do my own thing.
Listen, just let me know when we can go to Mars, brother.
Yo, we gotta holler at you, bro. You got the blueprints. You got the blueprints, bro. You're working on
Give me like a month or two, man. Give me a month or two.
So now, you obviously you said that spoken word is kind of your love. What do you see yourself doing more of in the future?
Oh, that's tough, man. Like I have, man.
Because your book did well. You've been, people are responding to it, and you're obviously your public persona on social media is more in line with your writing.
Absolutely,
100%. A lot of people actually don't even know I do like spoken word. Like I remember someone messaged me a while ago and she was like, oh, you do spoken word? And it's funny because like I started from spoken word, so you're definitely right that people know me more from my writing. But that's tough. Like on one hand I'm like, I have ideas of like, you know, dope visuals and just like doing performances and shows, and then on the other hand I have this idea of just continuing to write, you know what I mean? And seeing like how far that could go. And for me is, I don't think they have to be mutually exclusive. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've been doing both, alhamdulillah. And I feel like, yo, why not continue to do both?
No, but you haven't really been doing both. Because you put a lot more professional attention into one.
100%. It's not easy to do both at the same time.
I can do both.
I just thought about it.
But bringing it back, though, I feel like because we both have jobs or whatever, we're able to pick and choose what we do. You see, it kind of ties back to what you were saying earlier. If he really was like the quote unquote starving artist, or he had to like constantly create content, best believe he would be doing both on a high level, because I know he can. But if he had that much time to be able to like lock in on both of them when he doesn't have any other distractions, it'd be a wrap. Like he really would be going hard. But I feel like, honestly, like just bringing back to that question earlier, right? It's, to me, it's like one of the biggest blessings, being able to know that you can create content when you want and how you want it, and you don't have to rely on it to really get that bag in a sense, you know? Yeah, not to say that, yo, there's a lot of money in this. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, yo, I'm catching some nice bags.
Would you ever leave your... I won't say the company you work for, but you do work for a big company. You have a really nice job, too. Something that's in your field, that's creative. Would you ever leave your job and focus strictly on the, you know, professional side of photography?
Ideally, I think I would, only if I were to, like, solidify a couple of big contracts with, like, big brands, like as in like
big, you know, or long term.
No, I would say no, it doesn't really have to be like super long term, because like none of these brands are really doing things like that long term nowadays. You know, if I catch like a 2-year contract with like, I don't know, Nike or something, I'd be cool stepping away for a bit, because alhamdulillah, like I got some money, so like that's not the issue. But I feel like if I have to like drop everything that I'm doing now to go into the realm of art, to do it without knowing what my next step is something that I'm not, I've never been a risk taker, bro. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, there's like, I admire people like you, real tough. Like,
I'm telling you, it's scary on this side, bro.
Trust me. No, I know. But the thing is like, with great risk, with great risks come great rewards. You know what I'm saying? Like, mashallah. So like you take that risk, you know what I'm saying? And you have tawakkal, you know, at the end of the day, it's gonna work out for you, because your back is against the wall. You have to make it work.
Yeah.
The difficulty is, how do you make sure that you don't compromise your content, bro? Like, and mashallah, you've done a really good job, bro, at like creating really awesome content. Like I know people personally that stepped away from their full-time jobs to take on full careers within the art realm. And I meet up with them about a year later, bro, and they're super depressed.
Yeah.
And they're super not happy with where they are. Why? Because they feel as though they stepped away from a full-time and now they picked up another full-time, right? Like I would hate it if I picked up a camera today and said I wanted to be a full-time photographer and felt as though, like, every time I'm going to a shoot, bro, like, I'm dragging my feet. Yeah. And, like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
hard to be self-motivated.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Especially when, you know what I mean? Like, and I've worked in organizations and companies before, mm-hmm. and, you know, that pressure from above, timelines, these things, the structure. Like, yeah. when there's a structure and there's an infrastructure, mm-hmm. it gives you a sense of stability. You know your paycheck's coming on this day. You know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? When you're out in the wild, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm like a scavenger in the woods, like trying to find food. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah. I got to come up with ideas, yeah, you know? Right. Mm-hmm. I got to be creative. I got to think, okay, let's come up with this event. Let's kind of... So it's one of those things that I'll tell you my honest opinion is that I think both of you could easily leave your jobs mm-hmm. and do this full-time, do your art full-time. And I think that as a community, we need to start understanding the importance of giving people like you, you know, paying you well, mm-hmm. asking you to do work that we feel is important, because it's almost like we're losing out, mm-hmm. you know? This is what my biggest fear is. And me and my wife talk about this often, you know, because sometimes I complain about, you know, I'm stressed out and this and that. She says, like, why don't you just get a job? Mm-hmm. My kids tell me, Daddy, why don't you get a real job? Mm-hmm. they don't know what I do. They're like,
yeah, they don't know.
You're in the basement right now talking with these guys. Like, how does this work? How does this work? Right?
Like, Dad.
Yeah, right? And I agree with them sometimes. Right. I'm like, damn, why don't I get a real job? Right. And then I think to myself, man, subhanAllah, but like...
Working for somebody, but
not just working for someone, mm-hmm. but I feel like... And this is not to brag, but I feel like I'm an asset for the community.
Absolutely. 100%.
I'm trying to do something for us.
100%.
And if I step back, it's like, well, yeah. you know, there's a lot that could be lost. Yeah. I could still try and grind, you know, on the side. I could be like a weekend warrior and after work, you know what I mean? But I just know that...
You can't have as much impact, bro. 100%. Like, when you, like, the way that you do, like, the way that we're doing it, as crazy as it sounds, is like, is pretty selfish in a sense. Because mm-hmm. we are doing it for our own personal outlets, bro. Like, real time, when I do art, bro, it's just for me. Mm. Yeah. Like, whoever is consuming my content can consume it as they will, bro.
Yeah.
Like, but for me, it's literally for me. Because I've had opportunities where, like, because alhamdulillah of the position that I have, like, in my full time and all that stuff, whatever, I can turn down a lot of gigs that a lot of people wouldn't be able to turn down. Because, like, yo, sometimes the money's right, but it's like, that's not in realm with what I want to do, right? Because it's like, I never want to pick up the cam and do something that'll be like, man, oh, the bag is so right. Like, I've been asked to do certain things that I won't say because, like, I don't want to knock certain people's fields, right, you know what I mean? Right. But, like, that could never be me.
Yeah.
You know, but that realm is very lucrative.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
See, I 100% agree with that. And I think even if you decide to take, you know, the independent route or whatever, like, you have to have principles. Like, you have to have morals. You have to have boundaries and things, you know, that you're not willing to cross and sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But it gets hard, man.
Absolutely.
When rent's due at the end of the month.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you see that, you know, they tell you, hey, come, we got this fashion model here. And, you know, come take these pictures.
Easy bag,
I'd be like, damn, where is she at, bro? Let's get this party cracking, you know what I'm saying? But, like, and then again, I feel like, you know, you both have, you know, very good jobs, but a lot of people, they also work in jobs where they do stuff they don't like to do anyways.
Yeah. Right.
People work in fields and positions where, like, you know, they're not exactly 100% halal either.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, what's the difference?
See, I think, my bad to cut you off, but, like, I think with certain people, like, that the example that I brought up earlier with one of my friends, he was doing a job that he didn't like either, but a year later, I asked him, I said, what's the difference between what you were doing now and what you're doing? Like, he's basically making just a little bit more money with photography, but it's like he's working that much harder, right? Mm. So I'm like, you maybe collect a couple extra, I don't know, 20 grand, like, on the end of the year, but at what cost, right? Because now you used to use your photography as an outlet, as a passion, as a way for you to, like, unwind in a sense, right? You used to hang with the gang. You used to, like, go out and, like, shoot just by yourself. Certain things that you have a peace of mind. Certain time. When I just go out sometimes, bro, just go out and just shoot by myself. And, like, people be like, oh, this guy's weird, you know? Well, that's fine. That's whatever. I just do my own thing. Because to me, that's super relaxing.
Right.
If I used my camera on a regular day basis and I had to, like fend for myself, utilizing it, I don't think it would be fun anymore. And, like, I don't want to ever get to a point where I lose that, like, it being fun.
That's a real thing.
Do you feel like you've, like, compromised your art?
Well, I'm here doing a podcast with you. Like, if I was a purist, I would be in the lab right now. Coming up with my next masterpiece.
Cook it up.
No, no, no.
When I tell you he's a comedian, he's a comedian.
You know what? And when you said that, actually, it resonates with me a lot because I've said this publicly before, like I don't even think I've written a poem in the past maybe year. Right, like a poem that I could sit down and I used to love that process.
Wow.
And I used to sit down and I used to like scribble and come up with ideas. Now I'm transitioning more into kind of the rap thing as well and film as well. So I'm creatively I'm kind of looking at different things in that way. But the poetry, which is the thing that really got me started, the spoken word, I found it to become something that is like almost a burden now.
Wow.
Like I can't even write for myself. It's like I have to write with an audience in mind.
Wow.
Right? And that becomes a very scary place because I literally, I fall out of love.
Yeah, man.
And I wouldn't say I've fallen out of love. You know, we're on the rocks right now. We're trying to work it out. You know, I'm sleeping on the couch, but things we're in therapy right now.
Right.
But like, I've also decided that, look, you know, I love storytelling. Right, which I consider spoken word to be a part of the same family. It's just storytelling, right? And I love film, and I'd love to kind of, you know, I'm exploring different options in that way. But it is one of those things, like, you're right, 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, when you start doing it at that level, at that with that need and urgency, it naturally becomes something you're not in love with anymore.
And I feel like the way for me to combat that is to say no, right?
Mm-hmm. But you have that luxury, though, right?
But exactly. But, like, for me, like, I've been in situations where people have asked me to perform for certain themes. Like, for example, hey, we have a fundraiser coming up about orphans, you know, which is an amazing cause, but I've never written about orphans. So I never want to get into the rhythm of writing for different things that I necessarily wouldn't have written about if it wasn't for catching a quick bag.
Brother, when them charities start calling, brother, what do you want? Orphans, wells, widows. I got them in alphabetical order, brother. I don't even think twice. Which orphan you want? What color?
He's like, page 36?
Yeah.
Open that. Yeah. Dust this off?
Oh, right. Yeah,
let's whip this one
in. And I've said it before. I said in another podcast that like Muslim charities have become like the mafia. Yeah. Right? In terms of like events organizing. Right? It's like nothing goes through in any city unless there's, you know, the commission, you know, like they have the five families, you have the five charities, they gather around, they decide, you know, this person. You know,
who do we let in the city?
You know what I'm saying? Alhamdulillah, I'm a made man. So,
I know, absolutely.
For the most part, you know, I can do my own thing. But at the same time, like coming up, you're not going to find many platforms that don't involve some type of charitable theme or...
100%.
But you know, it's like back in the day, it wasn't like that. Like, I remember when I came to, like, you know, George Mason, all that stuff, it was like, you know, there was no fundraiser. There was nothing. Yeah. It was just students come, you pay your admission, you come,
But there was still, like, gatekeepers that were letting certain things come through and, like, refusing to let other things in.
Yeah, but it was like MSA kids.
Yeah, but bro...
But they're still gatekeepers, right?
Because they are.
But to a certain extent, it's different, though. Like, I feel like Bona has a very good point. Initially, when he first started doing it, it was like even the content of the work that he was pushing was just like, oh, this guy is Muslim and he pushes like spoken word poetry that's like Muslim related.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to even really be anything on cue with a certain theme, right?
Mm.
Now it's like, look, we want you to perform about this. It's super specific now. So you can't come here and spit your two pieces about, I don't know.
No.
You know, so and so.
We need a poem on Kashmir.
Absolutely.
Brother, do you have that poem prepared? Right? Or brother, we need a poem on the flood in this country,
right?
And it's like, for the most part, I have kind of generic pieces that I can tie in and I can talk about it and stuff. But it definitely is a big, like, it's a big hamper on like the creative aspect of it. Like, so you're not really able to express yourself.
Let me ask you this, right? Do you think as we get older that, for example, just using spoken word as an example, but any other art form, that this type of entertainment is getting increasingly more difficult or something you don't desire?
People are going to think this word, there's a keyboard on here.
I'm just really passionate about.
No, I know.
Unlike some people.
I know. Don't tell anyone.
Got it. But do you think that you find it more undesirable now that you're getting older? Because, you know, a lot of people, like, if you look at, like, there are a lot of people that say, like, oh, I'm too old to be an entertainer now. Like, what am I doing? Like, you know what I mean?
You know what it is? I feel like I'm still a really good writer and performer, but the things that I want to talk about, there's no audience for.
Like what?
Like, I mean, maybe my perspective on things, it would be done in such a way that might kind of neglect my current audience. And like, as a normal person, like, you grow, you evolve, right, like, yeah, you know, your ideas change, like, you know, your approach to things, certain things changes, mm-hmm. Which is why I've also realized that, like, filmmaking for me is probably a better outlet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's first of all, it's a field that's completely open. There's not much, you know, happening in that realm.
So you can hide behind actors.
No, I'm the lead actor.
You're the lead actor for every
pay for another actor? What are you talking about?
Just let me know when you need a gig, like a top boy.
Here we go. Top boy cast right here. Coming soon.
I don't know about all that.
Trust me. I'm ready for it.
You know what I'm saying? But it's weird, like, because I'm still in the creative world. Like, right. I've never seen myself outside of art. But it's like, I also think that, you know, and it's weird because people might look at you now and say, oh, he only does writing. He only does poetry. Right? And they don't realize that you're multifaceted. Like, you have other, you know, like yourself. Oh, he's just a photographer. Right, it's like, no, I can do more than that. Like, I have other talents and other. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it actually sucks when you get pigeonholed because you have to reintroduce yourself in different. And for, I know for a lot of communities and for like people in our community, they can't see you in any other way.
100%.
You know, it's like, no, you're this guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, no,
I do different things.
Yeah, I can do, and actually, I have this skill set has allowed me to do other things.
Right.
And it's given me a platform. Like really, I'm really focusing on filmmaking. Yeah. Like, this is something that I'm very passionate about. Mm. And I've been able to utilize my, you know, my spoken word name and my contacts to say, okay, look, let's bring a film now. Mm. I came and did an event with you guys last year. Why don't we do a film this year?
Right.
And I see a lot of times people are kind of like, what?
You do film?
Yeah. Like, is that a real thing? Like, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm hopeful, inshallah, you know, 5-10 years from now, you know, it'll be the norm.
Absolutely.
Which, because when I started doing spoken word, by the way, it wasn't the norm.
It wasn't.
Right? Yeah. I was the oddball out. I remember, man, I did so much for you guys.
Yeah, you birthed all of us.
When I think about it, man, you guys should just be paying me a check each month.
Bro, let me go. Time out.
That was a heavy labor, by the way. It was heavy.
10%.
10%. You birthed a lot of people. You ain't birthed me. Let me tell you why. I tried getting into the Muslim poetry thing early on. Two reasons that didn't happen. One, a lot of gatekeepers, not excluding you, a lot of gatekeepers didn't let me in. I'll be honest. A lot of organizations were like, oh, who are you? Sorry, you're not Bona. They didn't allow me into the Muslim poetry scene.
He's bitter now.
Hold on. Number one.
Yeah, it helped him get to where he got to, though.
He's revolted.
Let's go.
It is. Yeah. And number two, till today, people don't look at me as a Muslim poet. They just don't.
Yeah, you're right.
Nobody looks at Laku and says, oh, he's a Muslim poet. I don't even think people know I'm Muslim, and it's kind
of
sad. Yeah.
No, I birthed you, but it was more of like a miscarriage. No, you didn't. It was like a miscarriage along the way. Like, something happened. I left him on the road, you know? Like
even if
we didn't bring you the full journey way.
Like, even when you think
you're right. Because people now. Yeah, people don't necessarily. So, but I want to help change that as well. And I think that's a shame that you haven't been as celebrated in the Muslim community. Like, and you have a lot of love in the non-Muslim world, which is fine. But again, it's to my point earlier that, like, we have so much talent.
Yeah.
Like, we should be honing that, supporting that, creating platforms so that within our own world, such that we don't need to. Like, people tell me all the time, brother, why don't you do like mainstream films?
Right.
Why don't you? And I'm like, dude, we're like 1.5 billion people. Like, this is mainstream.
Right.
You know, like, we are a niche.
Absolutely.
And that's the way the world is working now. Marketing, all these things. Everything's about niche marketing. Yeah. Everything's about, you know, whether it's the black audience, whether it's a Muslim audience, right?
But I feel like, bro, with the Muslim audience, a lot of times, they're not ready to accept any content that isn't directly Muslim oriented. I'll tell you this. It's like, to me, if you're Bona, right, and you're doing a poem today strictly about mental health, like, and I'm sure you've done so many different like poems that have to do with like other things outside of the deen, right?
Right.
But that might not be as receptive as your other Muslim oriented poems.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's kind of like they are still holding that market as like only an outlet speaking about the deen, which, I mean, it's not a bad thing at all, but it's like you can have somebody that's Muslim that is not only giving you Muslim content. Like, and that's what we need to expand to. Not to say that Muslim content is bad or anything, but like, yo, let other people in the realm, bro. Like, like, you can't just only hold this like Muslim
small niche.
Like, it's such a tiny niche, and like, it like pushes people away, bro, to like actually like not want to be within that realm anymore. You know what I'm saying? And go elsewhere with their artistry, when in actuality you could be really like, you know, welcoming them in.
You know, and you're right in the sense that, like, look, as a Muslim community that's growing and evolving, mm-hmm. you know, we're not like immigrants anymore. Like, right, you know, we're all, you know, we have our own lives, whatever. We're not adjusting. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that art and culture is a part of our makeup, and it's mm-hmm. a part of what develops identity, mm-hmm. right? And this is how the future of Muslims in America and Canada and the U.S., they will begin to evolve and begin to carry on and continue to carry that flag, right? Mm-hmm. It's through culture. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what I've always been preaching, is that, you know, I'm fighting a cultural war.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People don't sometimes get it, but I'm like, dude, I'm not competing with, you know what I mean, such and such Nasheed artist or whatever. I'm competing with everything else out there that's meant to distract you.
As you right? should. Yeah.
And we're here to try and provide. So it doesn't have to be sometimes right on the nose.
Absolutely.
Right? It can be something. But, like, there are parameters, right? Like, you know, we don't want to obviously, you know, give rise to some things that are, you know, anti-Islamic or mm-hmm. or against the Sharia by nature. 100%. Like profanity, you know, nudity, 100%. All that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
But I think that's part of a community's maturity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what our generation, hopefully, inshallah, will be able to instill. And I'm appreciative of it. Like, I know mm-hmm. a lot of Muslim artists who don't necessarily do what I do, who mm-hmm. do, like, Muslim-based art, mm-hmm. but I still appreciate what they do. Right. And there's still space for it.
Right,
and
right.
I think, you know, one sheikh, I'll end with this, because we are going to wrap up soon, inshallah. But one sheikh, he taught me something very important. I was debating with him once, and I won't say his name, because I don't want anyone to hate on him. But I was debating with him once about, he's American, about Muslims being Democrats or Republicans. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, I was like, how can a Muslim be a Republican? Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't logically make sense in my head. I'm like, mm-hmm. yo, these Republicans, like, they really don't like Muslims. Everything they say in there. And he told me something very wise, and I'll always remember this. He said, our faith is something that should encompass everything, right? We need to be mature enough to understand that we need people on every side, mm-hmm. right? We need people that are conservative, Republican, liberal, whatever, mm-hmm. because that way, we're covered, right?
Right.
And it's like, and just to kind of expand on that, like, you know, whether you do your type of photography, whether you do your type of poetry, whether you do my type of poetry or this type of film or that type of film, you know, we should be mature enough to understand that not everything has to look the same. Not everything has to be the exact same. Mm-hmm. But I think collectively there is khair in all of it, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, I think, a part of a maturity that our community needs to develop, that we understand that, you know, there's value to everything right. And what we do. And, you know, I appreciate both of you brothers, and I love the work that, you know, both of you guys do. And I think you guys are great examples of that it doesn't always have to be on the nose. And I think hopefully, inshallah, people can benefit from that. And I'm sure there's many artists starving or otherwise, you know, I used to be starving, now I'm alhamdulillah.
Yeah. No, my boy's fed now.
Couple summers, bro. I've been, I gotta get in the gym, bro. You know what I'm saying?
We in the burbs.
But you know what I'm saying? But how can people get in touch with you again one more time? Your IG?
Yes, social, I guess mainly use IG, Swizzy's World. That's SWI. I have it, but it's really like inactive. I just started a new one maybe about a year and a half ago. But I deactivate. I go on and off because really? I can't, the Twitter feed's terrible, bro. Like, yeah. I can't stand to look at
nonsense. I know. I don't actually read anything on Twitter. I have just automatic posts. I don't like, Twitter is kind of a dead platform.
Instagram.
Instagram. I'll make sure I have all the information below. Absolutely. And for you as well, how can they find you on IG?
You can find me on IG at BOONAAM.
Mashallah. Mashallah. People are going to be like, man, that brother got short. What happened to you, brother? He was tall and light. Now you're dark and short.
Alaku. Alakku.
Alhamdulillah. And of course, myself and Alaku will be, hopefully, inshallah, this February, be touring again in the US, inshallah. So you can come check us out. And of course, hopefully, Swizzy will be there tagging along. You can take a picture with him, or he can take a picture of you. however you want to do the transaction anyway. Then, Zakallah khair, guys. Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much for joining me. And thank you for watching. Take care. We'll see you next time. Zakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.